Welcome everyone to another special episode of After the Final Whistle. And tonight we have not one but two special guests. But before we get to them, I'd like to introduce my co-host, Han Solo. Han, welcome again.
Hi, thanks for having me, Alex. It's been quite a while since our last one, but it's great to be here again doing another show for the podcast.
Awesome. And introduce us to our two very special guests.
Sure. So we have here today two big up-and-coming coaches for the NPLW Victoria League. And we've got John Turnbull has just joined us to Bayside United from Port Melbourne, where he has spent the last 3 years building their women's program. As well as his role as head of women's football and women's head coach, he also coached for JB NPL and the NPL Under-19 Academy side, and spent the last 2 years as part of the NPL senior men's coaching team. And also joining us here today is Christy Sarkos. She has just closed the curtain on a 17-year playing career that has seen her represent Adelaide Sensation in the National Premier League, which is, I guess, formerly known as the W League. So it's something special that we've got here today. And she's played for 10 years in the Premier League and later in the NPLW in South Australia, where she captained four-time champions Metro United WFC. More recently, Christy played under John at Port Melbourne Soccer Club, where she was an integral part of the season's promotional winning side. It's my pleasure to welcome our guest for today, John Turnbull, new head coach for Bayside United and assistant coach Christy Sarkos. It's so good to have you here. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Alex. Thanks, Mum.
Well, we'll get into it straight away, guys. We want to thank you both for your time. We know we've just been out of lockdown for Melbourne, so I'm sure we're all quickly keen to get out amongst and be with our friends and family. So we won't hold off too much longer. First question up, when did you start coaching?
So for me, it was probably back in 2010. I was living in Berlin at the time and took on a role with the club I was playing for at the time in Western Berlin, which had just formed a women's team. I took on the coaching role there, but as has often been the case for me career-wise, right before the end of pre-season, my company asked me to move to a city 6 hours away. At the time, wasn't really an option to stay. I was still young and ambitious with my work career, and so I moved, and unfortunately that meant having to give up the role. Kind of the result of that, I suppose, is that I decided unless I was able to commit, I wasn't going to take on any other coaching roles, because I think as a player, and I continue to play wherever I've lived, and that's been in Germany and Singapore and Thailand and now Australia, I've always tried to play. But coaching, you know, you need to be able to commit the time and the effort that it needs, and never stay in one place long enough. So, finally arrived in Australia and started to put down some roots, and so took on the role back in end of 2017 at King's Domain Football Club, when I took on the role of head coach of their State 4 women's team. And it's not looked back since.
You've been obviously to quite a few countries there. What have you noticed the difference between football in each of those countries?
It's very different. I think with Germany, it was really physical. I'm English. I'm not really built. We're not built like the Germans generally. So I'm small wherever I go, but I felt particularly small in Germany. And it was a real kind of physical battle over there. I think it probably had the opposite in Singapore, where I was a little bit bigger than normal. And so there the fitness levels were incredible. And again, being English, really struggled with the heat. I think it's playing midday games in 40 degrees sun is not the easiest thing to do. But certainly I think in Australia it's been really interesting to see the difference. I think the football here is heavily influenced by other sports that are played in Australia, and feels very, very direct, which I think is possibly a footy influence to some degree. There's definitely a tendency at all levels. I mean, even in senior NPL, the number of teams that we faced last year that were extremely direct, looked to kind of pump it long from the centre backs and then look for flicks and second balls. It's frustrating to play against. I suppose it's effective. Not how I would want to play personally, but you know, it is very much still the way that a lot of teams play. So hopefully not the way we're going to be playing anyway.
Well, I'm sure we're all keen to see that. And Christy, yourself, how did you come about, start your career coaching?
I've sort of wound up playing this year and, still feel like I've got a lot to offer. And that's why I've decided to go the coaching route with John down at Bayside. So sort of looking at developing some skills and passing on experience and I guess the skills that I have as a player to the younger players moving forward.
And on that note, for both of you, what interests you in the Bayside coaching role?
Well, I think for me, I mean, it's interesting. We played Bayside last year in the Nike FC Cup. And kind of since that game, I've kind of kept an eye on them, just because they beat us for one. So I kind of thought I'd keep track of how they then went on and did. And obviously they hadn't done particularly well last year. I've got this inbuilt desire to fix things that are broken. And I kind of looked at that and it was constantly in my mind of, you know, watching Bayside games and thinking, oh, you know, could be doing that differently, should be doing that differently. And I kind of just, I wasn't necessarily looking to leave Port Melbourne, but had a conversation with Nick and Rob and that went kind of really, really well. And I was really impressed with their ambition and their honesty, I suppose, about what needed to be done. They felt like people I could work with. So I then met Deb, the president, and the deal was sealed. There's a genuine intention, I think, at the club to kind of drive the club forward, take the club forward. And, you know, they're working on some really exciting things in the background that will be a step change for the club kind of going forward. And that kind of ambition really, it was quite infectious. And that was it for me. I think I'm a big fan of projects and there's a multi-year plan in place to really build the club up. And I want to be part of that. So yeah, very excited.
And obviously, well, once we do get back to playing, what's the first thing you want to sort of achieve or introduce into the playing group?
So I think, you know, watching back at the Bayside games from last season, and I've watched a lot of Bayside United games in the last couple of weeks, I think the thing that probably strikes me most is almost the fear that the players seem to be playing with. They definitely feels like they're playing within themselves, and that there's maybe a lack of confidence in how they were playing. No one really wanting to get on the ball and dictate things. And I think for me, football is all about wanting the ball and being in possession of the ball. And I think, you know, one of the things I'd like to get, you know, get nice and early drilled into the players is that, you know, we have to want the football, and we have to want to dominate possession. And so for me, the early stages are going to be very much around getting players as many touches as possible, getting everybody wanting the football, in possession of the football, and just really learning to play that way. I think they were very direct last year, probably over-relied a little bit on the front three at times. And you know, midfield got a little bit bypassed. And I think that's something that I'd like to change. I like to build from the back and play through the lines. And I think, you know, obviously you need the personnel to do it. But you know, I think just because they maybe weren't playing that way last season doesn't mean that they can't play that way. So I'm really looking forward to getting out on the field with the players and seeing what they're capable of.
And Chrissy, obviously, as you mentioned, you've just finished up playing. What do you think you can add to the younger girls who, as John said, probably didn't feel comfortable on the ball? What experience can you offer the young girls there once, you guys hit the floor running?
Yeah, look, I've had a pretty long playing career and I've played at, different levels, playing at state level in South Australia, playing for, Sports Institute and then the National Premier League there. I believe in John's game plan, we used it in Port Melbourne, it worked a treat, and I can't wait to see what impact it has at NPL level. And just to give the girls some confidence, some belief, having been witness and being part of it, that it's a system that can work. And as long as they, train to the principles that he has, there's no reason why we can't be super competitive next year. And that's what sort of gets me excited about next season with Bayside.
And is there any chance of putting on the boots just one last time?
Look, I don't think I'm 38 next year. I don't fit his sort of age category that he's after. Do I, John? I don't know. No, no way. My body's given up on me, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Maybe if you play against South Melbourne, if Barbieri is there, you could kind of be the striker and she'll be the goalkeeper. And
yeah, like maybe last 5 minutes if it's it's a draw you need. Get you need on. A little bit of injection. I'll put my hand up for that. No worries.
Nice. similar to that, you're going to be new to the club. How would your old teammates describe you as a coach or a teammate?
That's a good question, huh? Look, I think, I was there for a year and I felt like I made a pretty strong impact right from the get-go. I was able to create some really strong relationships and they, appointed me vice-captain within a couple of months. So it just goes to show that I've got something to offer. I feel like I've been able to make an impact quite quickly. So that's what I'm looking at doing at Bayside. From a coaching perspective.
And I would say also, I'll speak for her on this one, but I think, Christy's a leader. She's a leader and that's why she was kind of appointed vice captain within a couple months, because she knows, in the way that she conducts herself and the mentality that she has, people respect her. And I think that, we're looking to bring a winning mentality to Bayside, and we need people like Christy, in and around the dressing room to kind of bring that level of competitiveness and professionalism. And I think that's absolutely what she'll bring to the club.
You mentioned the playing group. What sort of players are you looking to bring into the Bayside team? Now, you do have experience, and I'm sure poor Melbourne players will be looking over their shoulders to whether they'll get a tap on the shoulder from yourself. But what sort of players would you like to bring in to that would help, improve Bayside?
Yeah, so I think I'd start by saying I wouldn't necessarily want to talk about players I want to bring in. I think I'd probably talk about players that we want to have at the club, because there may be players who are already there who fit the bill. Mm-hmm. As I said earlier, they may not have played the way that I'd want us to play last year, but that doesn't mean they're not capable of playing that way this year. But naturally, I'm sure we'll still be bringing players in as well to supplement the group. I think for me, what's important with the way we want to play is that the players are technically strong. As I said, I want to dominate possession. I want to keep hold of the ball, and I think we need players who have good touch. Who are clever, who have good movement. We need to be physically fit, because when we lose the ball, we'll be looking to win it back as quickly as possible. For me, though, as much as anything, it's about having the right mentality. I want players that are going to be committed to the cause, are going to be at every training session, are going to have that winning mentality and not want to give up. Watching back games from last season, even, who are the players Who are the players that never stopped running? Who are the players that still threw themselves into tackles when they were 4 or 5 nil down? You know, they're the players that you want. You want fighters. So I think for me, bringing in players that give you that is really important. But probably the most important thing is players that are hungry to keep improving. You know, I'm here to coach, not just to pick a team every week. And I think I want to work with players who don't think they're the finished article and who have a desire to get better and you know, don't think they've already arrived. You know, they want to keep learning, they want to keep improving. And you know, that's probably more than anything what's important with the players that we either have or look to bring in.
And Christy, would you like to touch on that? Sorry.
No, you're right, Anne. I was going to think.
I think, look, John covered it well. I think we would love to get an opportunity to work with the girls that already are committed at Bayside and see how they adapt to the new game plan. Obviously, we need an injection of some more talent, but initially it's just working with the group that we have. And you know, under John's game plan is someone that technically they have to be good. They have to be able to hold the ball, and first touch is critical, positioning is critical, and being able to find players that have that already or can move to that quite quickly is what we're looking for.
And what would success look like for either of you? So, what is some of the goals you would like to achieve?
I mean, for me, it would be, you know, other coaches sat here talking to you in a year or a couple of years, and you asking them, you know, what do you need to do to close the gap on Bayside would be great, I guess. I think, you know, obviously success is important and improving results and, you know, finishing higher up the table, closing the gap on some of those teams that, you know, are slightly above us as a first target, you know, I think. Teams like Alamein and Heidelberg are not that far ahead. But I think, you know, trying to think bigger picture, because this isn't a one-year thing. This is a multi-year plan. This is a project. Pathway is extremely important. You know, a lot of NPL clubs talk about pathway. It's a buzzword that everyone uses, but I think very few do. And Calder have been very good at bringing players through, and you see at some of the other clubs with the announcements over the last few days that more under-19s are starting to move into the senior group. And I think that's something we need to be doing more of at Bayside. And I know it's something that the committee and Rob, the technical director, are passionate about making sure we start to do. Now, I think I heard on one of the games, I think it was Tio that was commentating at the time, and mentioned that Kirsty Shearing is the only player she was here 5 years ago and is still here, but since then not many players have come through, mm-hmm. and made a first team, made an impact in the first team. So, you know, for me and for the club, I think it's really important that we're preparing players, that we're working through all of the age groups to make sure that we're producing players at the club who can then go on and make a first team appearance. You know, we need more Coco Parkers and Hayley Porters to come through and you know, become part of the first team squad. And be at the top of the table as well in the long term. You know, we want to do it, but we want to be winning football matches as well. So yeah, there's probably quite a few things, but they're big ones for me. What about you, Christy?
I think I want us to be competitive every game. I don't want us walking in thinking how we're going to hold on and not concede. It's more around how are we going to give it a crack. How are we going to push forward? And for us to be able to create, you know, a football identity of this is what Bayside's about, this is how they play, and creates a strong brand within our game style.
Well, that concludes the questions that we had. We've just got a couple more questions. And these ones are pretty simple. One word answers. We want to know your favorite player is
past or current?
Portuguese god.
Anyone god.
Ronaldo for me.
Ronaldo. And yourself, John?
Yeah. I knew you'd hate that, but I think he's awesome.
He's all right. He's all right.
He's awesome.
He's all right, I suppose. My one's probably a bit out of left field. I'd go with so my hero is always Ledley King, who was a Spurs. I'm a big Spurs fan. Stupidly chose them as a team when I was a kid, and it's been non-stop suffering ever since. But yeah, Ledley King, the for me the best defender I've ever seen play in the flesh, and were it not for injuries, I think he would have gone on to become you know, one of the best. So yeah, Ledley King, because he was a ball playing centre back as well, which is for me is really important. Like, again, players who want the ball, and he was just, you know, he could play anywhere. He was brilliant. Maybe not as effective as Ronaldo in the final third, but all right.
And yeah. I want to give my favorite female player, if that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
Devanna, for me. Loved watching her. Turns a game on its head. Bit sad that she's retired, but hopefully she gives it one more crack in the W League. But yeah, my favorite player to watch.
You never know, maybe lace up the boots for Bayside United. So, John, maybe make some calls.
I'm working on it, don't worry.
Okay, would you score a volley or a free kick outside the box? And to make it harder, a Champions League final.
I go the free kick.
Interesting.
Why the free kick?
Why?
Yeah.
That's a good question. I don't know. I feel like it's a chance for me just to get composed and have a think through, and the odds are in my favour in that way. So I'd go that way. Volley, you know, you've got to get the footing right, got to get your positioning right. A little bit more of a chance with that, but yeah, go the free kick.
I don't have the technique to hit a free kick consistently enough. So I would just, mine would end up being a volley that came off my shin, I reckon, from outside the box, completely mishit, but ends up somehow hitting the top corner. And I'd take it as well if it was a Champions League final. Don't care how they go in.
And what are your game day rituals?
What are my game day rituals? I guess, you know, timing of when I eat is pretty important. So if it's an early morning game, I don't actually eat. I have something the night before. And then I like to run on an empty stomach. It just makes me feel lighter. But if it's later in the day, then I sort of prepare a little bit earlier than that. I wear these cruddy lotto boots that everyone looks at and go, like, are they from the 70s? And they probably are. Like, I've never changed my boots, and it's been like 10 years and they're so comfortable. So I'd be wearing my favourite Lotto Stadio 90 boots. And yeah, solid eating plan.
Very vintage.
Yeah. They're like the Coppermundials of the Adidas world. Yeah, they just never go out of style.
Yeah. Timeless.
Yeah. Probably shows my age anyway.
They don't make boots now like they used to. Puma Kings were always the way.
They're good.
And yourself, John?
Game day rituals. I don't really have any, I don't think. Like, when I played, I probably did. But now, to be honest, there's always just too much going on a game day for me to stop and think. And you know, I'm usually preoccupied with worrying about how we're going to nullify the opposition, to worry about, you know, have I got the right pair of socks on or anything like that. I'm just one of those. I'll buy, you know, 10 pairs of the same white socks so that I've always got the right pair of socks for game day and things like that. It's get into a routine is probably the easiest way for me. But yeah, it's, I'm probably too preoccupied to worry about any rituals.
Similar to that one, how would you juggle your responsibilities in terms of playing and outside responsibilities as well, especially as a coach? We know what players kind of manage their time with training and whatnot, but as a coach, how do you manage your time during the season to be able to be there with the players and also have your own time as well?
So I think I'm quite lucky in that, so I have a quite demanding job actually, and I wouldn't normally have said that I should be taking on a head coach role, but I've actually got long service leave and sabbatical next year, and we'll be off work for 5 months between March and August. So time will not be a problem. I will have lots of time, although I do also have a baby on the way. So I don't want to get ahead of myself, but certainly, yeah, I'm all in really with this, and then I wouldn't have done it if I couldn't make the time. So looking to move to Cheltenham as well. I was looking to move anyway to that area, but that will certainly help. So I think for me, yeah, it's fortuitous that I've got that time, and that means that I've got plenty of time to make myself available to players and to watch match footage back and compare the stats from the GPS trackers and things like that. So yeah, it's should be all right.
Well, that concludes the interview. We want to thank you both for your time. We appreciate it. We want to wish you all the success for once we do get back. And we'll definitely catch up with you when there is a game at Bayside. We'd love to have a catch up and just see how things are going with both of you. And like I said, Han and I will really appreciate for coming on. And we wish you all the best for the season ahead. Han, I'll leave it up to you for the last words.
Yeah, once again, excited to have you guys come on board. You know, I love watching Bayside games and commentating. You know, big things to come for Bayside. You know, that young team and are there to learn. I think next season is your season, and yeah, can't wait to watch it all. And I'll try to get on the games as well, because yeah, going down to Cheltenham is such a cool vibe, and atmosphere going on the pitch. So I'm very excited. Hopefully it won't be interrupted and everything goes smoothly. But yeah, like Alex said, we'll definitely come by and say hi at some stage, and all the best for the season and your new role. But yeah, very excited. And once again, thanks for coming on the show and, you know, introducing yourselves to the community. And yeah, we'd love to have you again, hopefully in the near future on our show to see how your season's going. But yeah, huge thanks again for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.